Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Are Lee and Tammy Toomey in chapel right now? Does anybody see them? Now, you may not know their names, but I bet you've seen them on campus, and here's how you'll recognize them. Whenever they are together, they're always holding hands. And I'll see them, I say, lovebirds. Every time I see them, I say, I love to see the lovebirds. There's something about holding somebody's hand. Now, I've not told my sweetheart, Debbie Jones, stand up, please. This is my sweetheart, Debbie Jones. We're also married, in case you're new. Now, I haven't told her what I'm talking about this morning, so she doesn't know what I'm about to ask her. Baby doll, do you remember the first time we ever held hands? Now, be honest. Now, she's thinking. Let me explain this. I'm kind of the one who remembers dates and numbers. So one time on our 20th anniversary, may I tell the story? It's okay, look me in the eyes. I said, it's the day before our 20th. And I said, do you know what tomorrow is? Maybe it's like the 19th, somewhere in there. Do you know what tomorrow is? She goes, Thursday. I said, yes, but it's a very special Thursday. She goes, trash day? And I went, yes. So do you remember? You don't? That's fine.
At Disney.
You remember. That makes me feel good. I was a youth minister, and we would take hundreds of kids to Disney World because we only lived, the church was like an hour from there. So the cars are racing by, and I take Debbie, and she's a little more hesitant than I. I'm like, we can go there. And she's like, no. So we had more of a space, so I reached out and grabbed her hand, and we quickly ran across the street to avoid getting run over.
Magical.
What's that?
Magical.
So we got the other side of the road. I never let go. And it was sending these tingling feelings up my toes, up my ankles, all the way up to the top of my head. And I was thinking, oh my goodness. There's just something about holding somebody's hand. And when I went through the Gospel of Mark, I spent a lot of time memorizing a lot of verses in that gospel. I noticed how many times it talks about Jesus taking someone by the hand. So here are four examples. Just look up here on the screen. Number one, chapter 1, verse 31. Jesus came to her and he raised her up, taking her by the hand. This was Simon's mother-in-law. Chapter 5, verse 41, the synagogue official's daughter. He says to her, little girl, he says, taking the girl by the hand, he says, little girl, I say to you, arise. Taking the blind man by the hand at Bethsaida, and he heals him, but he took him by the hand first. And then chapter 9, verse 27, Jesus took the demon-possessed boy by the hand. So I noticed, look at this, it's very interesting. It was man, woman, boy, and girl, all of us. He took them by the hand, and he healed them of disease, he healed them of death, he healed them of disabilities, and he healed them of the demonic. Well, today, I want to talk about you and me being God's hands and reaching out and taking other people by the hand and leading them to Jesus. Now, this summer, I got this text. Hello, Dr. Bill. How are you? Now, this is this person is writing in their third language. English is their third language. You are like the hands of God for me. And you took my hands and I came to God. Help me in this way, thank you. We would say, thank you for helping me in this way. Now, how did I come to receive such a special, I think this was an email, not a text. Well, let me back up. Brian, go ahead and put this next slide up. About a century and a half ago, there were two empires. I'll quickly get to this. Just hang on for a second. There's Russia, the Russian Empire in the north, and the Persian Empire in the south. And let's pretend all of you folks are the Azeri people group, Azeris. So Russia had most of you. They got distracted, and the Persians came in and took about this many of you. So about that many of you stayed in the Russian Empire, later the Soviet Union, and these are part of what became known as Iran. So Iran's in the news all the time, Russia's in the news all the time, and so these people groups are split in two. Their cousins, their relatives, their family, their friends, but there's a boundary. Iran's over here. Russia's over here. The Soviet Union collapsed. One of the 15 republics that became a country was Azerbaijan. So you guys are Azerbaijan. You guys are Iran. Now, because there's so many relationships, the two governments don't require a visa. So you can travel back and forth easily. Well, it's tough over here in Iran. It's tough in Azerbaijan, but it's much tougher over here. So a family left Iran, I'm going to tell you why in just a moment, and they settled in Azerbaijan because they speak Azeri. Now they have to learn Russian over here. It's Farsi and Azeri over here. All right, now, this picture. This fellow on the lower right, he was from Iran, and his family, just a few years ago, immigrated to Azerbaijan. The person in the far part, the upper part of the picture, that's a graduate of CIU, a missionary. The other person's also a missionary. They lead this fellow from Iran to Christ. Well, because it was wintertime, it was right after Christmas, they normally baptize these new believers in the Caspian Sea, but it's freezing in the Caspian Sea. So they find a spa that would let them do the baptizing. But they made a requirement. They had to wear these bathing hats on their hair to keep hair out of the pool, which I just die laughing every time I look at this picture because all three men had more hair on their chest than they did on their head. Well, after a while, now this is just 8-9 months ago, this young man who took the Christian name Daniel, I don't like it when they do that. I like them to keep their Muslim names because now they can reach more Muslims with the gospel, the good news of Jesus, if they don't take a Christian name. But he took the Christian name Daniel. Well, God's been working in his life so much that he wants to leave Azerbaijan and go back to Iran to start churches. So, mission agency that started in our home, and the reason why I'm here at CIU, because we started a mission agency with four little children, three of them in diapers, and we didn't know anything about missions, so we came to CIU, and I never left. So, that organization's doing some training of some of these former Iranians to go into Iran to start churches, to lead Muslims to Christ and start churches. And we've started 14 churches there. So he's going through the training. I'm over there this summer, and towards the end of the week, he said, would you come to my house for dinner? I want you to lead my mother to Christ. It's like, oh, okay. So this next slide, this is the family. So the very tallest one in the picture is Daniel. He's so excited we're there. His sister, I'm in the white, the lady to the left in the picture, that's his sister. She's a dentist. The lady to the right of the picture, the right of me, That's his mother. Then they have another brother, an older brother. There's three of them. The older brother's not there. The mother left Iran, went to Azerbaijan because her parents gave her, when she was 12 years old, to a 42-year-old man to be his wife. Before she turned 13 years old, she had her first baby, the brother that's not shown in the picture. She told the missionary in the black, she said, "While I was caring for my baby, I was playing with baby dolls." Because she's just a little girl. So she left the country a few years ago. They're in Azerbaijan. Well, the Holy Spirit showed up after dinner. And these two missionaries started, they started singing in Farsi or Azeri. And it became a very holy moment. And I began to think, well, God might use us tonight. But the mother was hard. I could tell she was torn up on the inside. She's seen her son, Daniel. His life's changed. He's different. But there was just a resistance. So I sit down on the other side of the room, and the daughter, the dentist, she turns to me at a certain point. She says, "You know, after my brother's transformation, I see that your God does something different in people's lives." She says, "I realize there's an emptiness in my life, and I want to know how I can have what he has." Now, you have to be real sensitive in Islamic cultures. I'm a man. She's a woman. I'm coming from a very biblical perspective. She's grown up in this Islamic perspective. And so I just to see if she were interested, I said something like this. "You know, there's a verse in the Bible, one verse that explains how you can have a personal relationship with God, be forgiven of all your disobedience, and have the free gift of eternal life, and become the person God wants you to become." Then I turned to my left and started talking to somebody else. When I turned back around, she said, "Well, if it's not too much of an inconvenience, I would like to hear that verse." So I knew this is my opening. So the missionary behind me, I said, "Would you write out John 3:16 in Farsi?" So they write from right to left. I'm sure you can read everything. So the words are the missionaries, because I don't know Farsi. I tried to learn it a few minutes before dinner, but I couldn't master it. All the artwork, I claim full credit. Now, you can't even understand that. But the girl, Aita, the dentist, she never took her eyes off the piece of paper. Then I asked her, "Where would you put yourself?" And you see the little lady I drew on the top of the cross there? That's a little lady. She said, "This is where I am. I don't want to be over here. I want to be over here, so I guess I'm in the middle." And so this next picture, we got down on our knees. I asked her brother, I said, "Would you open in prayer? Would you just start the praying?" And he prayed a powerful, powerful prayer. They were translating as he was praying. And then she prayed and invited Christ to come into her heart. And then the missionary closed in prayer. That's why I got this email from her. "Hello, Dr. Bill. How are you? You are like the hands of God for me. And you took my hands and I came to God. Help me in this way. Thank you." You never know what God's going to do when you extend your hand and say, "May I lead you to Christ? Come, come with me. How many have eaten in the, quote, old cafeteria? Raise your hands. How many absolutely love the new cafeteria? The first time I was there, there was kind of an opening day, a small event for faculty and staff. The next day, I couldn't make that one, so I'm there the next day, and I'm having lunch with a 27-year-old Army captain I had met the previous week at a wedding. We just kind of hit it off, and I said, why don't you come out to campus and let me treat you to lunch? He was at Fort Jackson. He came to the campus. I walk in. I'm amazed at how gorgeous the new cafeteria is, and the food's phenomenal, and I'm kind of getting focused on me, which is my tendency. So we get to the table. I'm eating this good food. The Army captain's eating. He starts talking about his family. He's throwing in some words like, we went to church and maybe God once or twice. And so I asked this question. I kind of put my hand out a little bit. And I said, do you feel like you have a personal relationship with God, or do you feel like you're still in the process? That fast, he said, I'm still in the process. I said, would you like to hear a verse of scripture that'll show you how you can finish the process? Now, here's this tough Army captain suddenly gets choked up. So I didn't look him in the eyes. He looked down. I looked down. And I waited a few seconds and I said, would you like to go to my office and let's talk about how you can cross over into a right relationship with God? He just nodded. So we put our trays up, went to my office. At a table, I drew John 3:16 out for him. It looked about as neat as the one you just saw, except I could read it in English. I said, do you see anything keeping you from crossing over right now? He just got very emotional. So we went over to the little couch there in the office. We got down on our knees, and he just sobbed as he invited Jesus into his heart. When people pray to receive Christ, I give them five little assignments. Assignment number one is they go back to their Bibles when they get home, open it up between the Old and New Testament, there's a blank page, and to write the prayer that they just prayed on their knees. This is what he sent me. It says, dear God, so he went back to Fort Jackson, got his Bible out and wrote this down. Dear God, I realize that I'm far from perfect. Thank you for dying on the cross so that my sins can be forgiven. Thank you for arranging this meetup today with Mr. Jones and working through him to share your message and love for me. I pray that you will come into my life, guide me on this journey, and bring me closer to you, Lord! Surround me with people like Mr. Jones that will help me grow in you. In your name I pray, amen, in his name. Listen, you never, never know. Just reaching out, saying, may I take you by the hand? I want to lead you to an incredible God, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who loves you, wants to forgive you, wants to change you from the inside out. The month before, it was July 18th, an 81-year-old lady wanted to know how she could become a Christian. So my friend and I met her at McAllister's. We shared the gospel with her. How old is she? 81 years old. I was thinking, you know, is she going to come in? She came bouncing in. She said, I want to know how to be a Christian. So I shared the gospel with her using one verse of scripture, John 3:16. I asked her, do you see anything keeping you from crossing over right now? She said, I need to think about it. I said, that's fine. So July the 29th, She prayed to receive Christ and texted me that she'd crossed over. So what I do during the year, any new Christians, every Sunday night, they are to text me and let me know how they've done on their reading assignment in the scriptures and what questions they have. So I've just thrown up some of the text that she sent me. This is this is like August 21st. I finished Psalms now. Now, when did she pray to receive Christ? July 29th. From July 29th to August 1st, she had read all of 1 John, all the Gospel of John, and all of Psalms. Then she says, and I'm about to finish my Bible study on 1 Samuel. And so I write, I said, okay, listen, go slowly. Because she's making me feel guilty, right? I should be reading more. Go slowly. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Then she says, all right, I finished that. I'm ready for my next assignment. What do you recommend? So I give her some more to read. Then she says, I mean, it's just a little discipling, that third text. I was disappointed in myself. I was praying for my friend's wife, who's actually her dear friend, who was dying at that point. She said, the husband asked me to pray for his wife. I just kind of fumbled through the prayer. I said, that's all right. I feel that way all the time. But you never know what God's going to do. From a 27-year-old army captain to an 81-year-old lady to an Iranian Muslim dentist, just offering your hand. Now, not only do you not know what God might do with the person in front of you, once they do cross over in that right relationship with God, and they start reaching out their hands, that's when it gets real exciting. Let me tell you one more story. How many of know of Tobin Castles, one of our board members? How many maybe live in Castles dorm, okay? All right. 5 years ago in May, his 21-year-old son passed unexpectedly. The next month, he and I had the privilege of leading, over the next month, several people to Christ. One was a fellow our age. He prayed to receive Christ. But last year, about March or April, he sent his 23-year-old nephew, who'd been having some troubles. I shared the gospel with him. And the 23-year-old, actually, I wanted him to be here today to share his story with you. He prayed to receive Christ. 13 months later, he brought his former college roommate, who's 24 years old now, brought him to my house. Deb had some Coke and some cookies and cheesecake. So we sugared him up, shared the gospel with him. I said, where do you put yourself on this journey? He says, I'm over here. Where would you like to be? I'd like to be over here. Do you see anything keeping you from crossing over right now? I have your hand. Let's go together. He said, I don't see anything. So he got on his knees there in our living room. His former college roommate's on his knees. And he prayed to receive Christ. Do you remember what he told you as he was going out the front door? What did he say?
I crossed over.
I said, tell my wife what just happened. He goes, I've crossed over to God. You never know. I read this recent statistic. I read this just a month ago. 79% of all unchurched people would be willing to have
a conversation about spiritual things if we just reached out our hand. So this morning, here's my challenge. You never know. You just never know. But we need to do the reaching. Don't be rude. Don't be harsh. But just, can I help you? I would love to show you how you can cross over, have the forgiveness of all your sins, the free gift of eternal life, and the Holy Spirit inside of you, the power to become the person God created you to be. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for reaching your hand out to us through somebody, through a parent or a friend or a pastor, youth minister. And Father, thank you for forgiving us, for changing us. Father, I pray that now we'll reach our hands out to other people. Lord, there's so many people in the city of Columbia that need to know your son, Jesus. Father, may we not walk in fear. But Lord, like the song we sang earlier, would you lead us in your love to other people so we can connect your hand with theirs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.